In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We know that smart people plan for the future, especially the long-term future. And the smarter we are, the more long-term we plan. Good countries and good companies, when they do good planning for the future, they grow and they reach well. And those who fail, they fail to study and they fail to research and they fail to plan. And our future, every and each one of us, is eternal, as we know that we are created on the image of God. And one of the things we are created in the image of God, that we will not die, whether good or bad, whether in heaven or in hell, we will not die. No human being will die ever. The spirit will live forever because it's in the image of God. This is our future. Our future is not just the days that we live on earth, but our future is eternal. So, do we have a plan for that or not? The gospel of today is about that, planning for the future. Do we know where we're going and what we're doing over there? If our future on earth, which is 40 years, 20, 50, 100 years is important, if 20 or 100 years is important, how about unlimited, infinite number of years? How important is that? It's a million times more important than our future on earth. Do we know that? Because we do plan for the future. At least we do think of the future. But we have unending future that we need to think of and plan for. You know, it's like what? Even though our life was on earth is very temporal, but we see it something big and huge and important. It's like seeing a huge, the most humongous swimming pool you've ever seen. And you say, this is great, this is the biggest I've ever seen. But when you compare it to the ocean, what is this comparing to the ocean? It's nothing. It's like a drop of water in the middle of the ocean. It's nothing comparing to that. So, that's our future. That's our eternal future that we need to be concerned of, that we need to think of, as the Lord taught us today. When you fly to New York or New Jersey or something that's half an hour or an hour flight, it doesn't really matter when you choose your seat or which plane you take or how you're going to make it. Because it's just very limited. But there, if you're flying to Japan or Hong Kong or Australia for 20 hours flight, I think a lot of people would like to sit in the exit seat and, you know, where they're comfortable and can stay for 20 long hours without being really tired and sick of the trip. The longer the trip, the more we need to be comfortable there. If you are living for a short period of time, it doesn't matter where you live. You can live in an apartment, in a studio, or in a hotel room. That's what people do when they live in a short-term place. But when they live for a long-term place, what would they like to live in? They would like to live in a mansion, in a huge house. That's exactly what Jesus said today. In the Gospel of today, he says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are many mansions. There is a plenty of mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It was the last talk between the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples before the crucifixion. And he's reminding them with the future in heaven, with the mansion there. Do you ever think if God wanted to seat his children, his beloved children, he would just make them sit and live anywhere? No, you better believe they would live in a mansion. But you know why? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you because it's not ready yet. Because it's yet to be known by our actions and by our lifestyle. How would you like your mansion in heaven? Have you thought about it? Do you have a mansion in heaven? Do you know that? people who went there, they said there are mansions, wonderful and amazing mansions, like nothing else on earth. There is. But do we plan for that or not? Are we concerned about it or not? Or we're just concerned about our future on earth? Someone just is paranoid to lose his job. He wouldn't sleep the night because it's his future. But would we lose sleep because of heaven? I'll tell you a story of one of the saints who lived during the time of Abuna Bshuy Kamel. He was a very good person. We talked about him in the Bible study. His name is Baba Sadiq, because he was like a father for a lot of people. They called him Baba Sadiq. And one day Abuna found him in the Haikal in the church, crying his eyes out. He asked him, what's wrong? He said, my sister lost 5 pounds and she's crying so hard because she lost the money. 5 pounds 30 years ago was something big. Maybe $500 or something. She lost 5 pounds and she's crying so hard. So he thought he was crying for her cry. And he said, no, I'm crying because she's so concerned about money that much. And we are losing eternity every single day. We are not crying that hard for eternity. And we are crying for just temporal and materialistic things. When are we going to change? And our hearts will change to think about eternal life rather than materialistic things like this. And cry $500 or 5 pounds or whatever it is. What is that? This man, he actually one of the people who used to see glimpse of heaven and the saints. That's why he knew what he's talking about. He wasn't a crazy person. No, he was a person of vision who was able to see that future. The devil, my friends, wants us to be earthly and focus so much on temporal things, not on eternal things. You know, the devil can help you and me to pray, but only for earthly things. And when I ask, are you praying? Yes, Abuna, I'm praying day and night. Because I have a lot of problems and I have to pray for them. Earthly prayers, nothing. All what the devil wants us to lose is lose the goal and the focus of where we're going. You know what sin means? Sin is missing the point. If you just miss the point of life and the point of the life, what God created us for, that's it. Doesn't matter if we sin or we don't do sin, if we do good things or bad things, as long as we lost the way. Why would the devil be concerned with that? Why would the devil want us to lose eternity? Why? Because he needs a lot of company where he's going to be. He's thinking about his future. He's smart. He wants a lot of people to be with him so he doesn't feel left alone. That's why he's attracting as many people as he can to do that. And that's why Jesus today said in the gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we lost that, if we lost him, we're not united with him. If we lost the goal, why we're here on earth, why we're living, we really lost the way. The devil wants us to be focused so much, set on mind on things on the earth. But the Bible teaches us the opposite. What we learned during this Holy 50 and our theme during this Holy 50, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Have you thought about this verse? Told you this verse and we put it as our theme verse during the Holy 50. Like it's a 50 days the church gave us in order to focus on our eternity in heaven. That's why you see a lot of white things all around the church reminding you is heaven. That we may desire heaven. Ask for it. Long for it. Be concerned with it. Be concerned with this, with our future. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The devil wants us to be become very earthly and materialistic. And I think he succeeded with a lot of people. Doesn't matter if we sin or we don't sin. Because if we miss the point, that's it. It doesn't matter if we do the sin or if we don't, as long as we miss the mansion in heaven. And the reason why I say that we become materialistic and not focused on our goal and our eternity, because we work so hard in this world, but it would come to spiritual life, we're so lazy and we lack a lot of diligence. Tell me, how is it that someone so smart and takes so many degrees and for 40 years of his life never ever finished the Bible once? What do you call this? Isn't that earthly things? Isn't that just so focused on earth? We become so strong and so smart and protect ourselves, but not spiritually. Just earthly and worldly. We raise our kids fine and good and great, educational-wise, and health-wise, we take care of them. But spiritual-wise, it's not a concern. It's not a priority. What is this? This is earthly concerns. And of course, they will grow to be earthly and not heavenly as God wanted us to be and as our future will be. And I see a lot of people become very materialistic in this world, in having mansions on earth rather than mansions in heaven. People are so concerned, so worried. They would love to have a mansion on earth. And they struggle for it. And they pay a lot of money for it. And they become slave of work in order to live in a mansion on earth. I don't know what's going on these days. Everybody wants to live in a mansion and drive nice, good, expensive, luxurious cars. What is this? I could understand that if you finished already your mansion on heaven and you're done with it and you finished construction and now you're ready for your earthly. But I don't think that we're already ready for the heavens. I remember the story of Amba Abraham. When he was building his diocese, and then he was just spending all the money on the poor. And then the word came to him and said, where is the money going? We need to build. And he said, I'm building for you a big mansion in heaven, not on earth. These people had vision, and I hope that we have this vision of our mansion in heaven, and we work for it. Sometimes I wonder if even our worship, is it focused on our future and our eternity, or just so much focused on earth, and we call it worship, even though we're asking for earthly things all the time. We consider this prayer, and we consider this worship to God. Question is, how to invest in heaven? How to build that mansion? How to think about it? How to be concerned for it? How to put something in it every single day? Three things that you have in this world that can help you to accomplish this goal. Three talents that God gave you that will help you build your mansion in heaven. Number one is time. Number two, money. And number three, relationships. First one, time. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. مفتدين الوقت لأن الأيام شريرة. The time is your life. If you lose your time, you lose your life. And the time is the most precious thing we have here on earth. You know, it's really a fact now. A lot of people, when we ask them to do anything, they would say, I have anything you would ask for. If you want money, I can give you money. But time, it's the last thing that I have. And that's true. Time is short. And time is so precious because your time is your life. And yet, time is very temporal. Time is just, we're going to live for a certain period of time. Still, it's something temporal and will go away. Redeeming the time means replacing earthly things and worldly things like time with eternal things. Would you like to replace your temporal time to an eternal time or not? It's your chance to invest in your time now. That's why what would you do with your time is you give your best time to God. That's how you invest in heaven. You don't give your worst, your garbage of time as we usually do. Give Him the best time. A lot of times we said about the quiet time and how we should do our quiet time every single day in the morning. A lot of excuses, and I'm not a morning person. I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter. Give your best time in the entire day, whatever it is, to God. And not only give the best time, but give Him as much as you can. If you're investing, and if you have a chance to invest, invest a lot. If you'd like to invest, put everything you can possibly do or give. I don't know where we got this from, but we have the idea, if I pray in the morning, and I pray in the evening before I sleep, regardless what the prayer is and how long it is, I'm good, and I'm fine, and I'm okay. No, it's not okay. If you are an investor, is there a limit of how much you can invest? Have you ever heard about investment? Just put $50 a month and that's it. You're good to go for all your retirement and for all your future needs. Have you ever heard this before? No. What investment is, put and invest as much as you can. As much as you can invest if you would like your money to grow. Same as time. If you would like eternity to be in a palace, you need to invest in your time, which is the most precious thing you have. The Bible said, pray without ceasing. And said so many times, pray always. Where did we get that prayer is twice a day? Where did we hear this in? Even the church set up 7 prayers every single day. Why? Because we're smart. Not because these people didn't have time. You better believe it. They didn't have microwaves, and they didn't have washers and dryers, and they didn't have ready food. I was wondering the other day, everything you do is very, very quick. Everything, we're like in the microwave age, and yet we don't have time. We fly, we have the fast things in the world, and we don't have time. What is this? How did these people pray all the time? How did they dedicate the time for it? You better believe that they didn't have time. You barely can put the bread in the toaster in order to eat your sandwich. But they had to bake it every single day in the morning. And yet they were praying. And they were spending time with God. The psalm said, blessed is the man that his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Where did you get that reading the Bible is 5 minutes before you sleep, a sleeping pill? Where did we get this from? As much as you can, spend heavenly time on earth in order to invest in your time, in your eternity. And I want to tell you that the problem is not the availability of the time, but it's the willingness to spend this time with God. I promise you, if we have the time off, because we do, sometimes we do. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we're off. Sometimes everything is shut down and there's nothing we can do. But we can't spend time with God. You know why? Because it's boring. We can't. It's tough. We're not used to. How are we going to spend eternity? It means that we are so earthly. And that's why we can't spend so much time with Him. Can only spend some time with Him, but not so much. What mansion for then? That's why you want to solve this, the issue of time. Not that you have to make your time or to have more time in your day, but you need to push yourself to sit down with God. Lock your room. Lock yourself in the room. And when you lock yourself, you will know how to spend time with God. You will know how to pray. But unless you lock yourself and stay and push yourself, it will never happen. Unless you push God on your schedule, it will never happen. It will never come naturally. Don't think it will come. That's why the Bible said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. ملكوت السماوات يغصب والغاصبون يختطفونه. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Push God on your schedule. And I really encourage you to do what we said in the beginning of this year, to stop in the end of every day and examine your day. How did it go? And how did you spend your time, which is your life, which is the most precious thing you have? The second talent that we use in order to invest in heaven is money. And you better believe it. It's the second thing, the second most important thing after time. It's another tool, whether to drive you to the eternal, the kingdom of heaven, or to drive you out of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said gave a very nice parable in Luke chapter 16 about a steward who wasn't very faithful in what God gave him. And he spoke that as we are not the owners of the money we have, but God is the owner and we're just the stewards, we should learn how to use it as God wants and not us. And he said, he who is faithful in what's least, which is the money of this world, is faithful also in much. If you're faithful on money now, you will be faithful on eternal life also. And he who is unjust in what's least, which is the money, is unjust also in much, which is heaven. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, which is the money we have, and you know why the Bible called, or Jesus called it unrighteous mammon or money? Why Jesus called it unrighteous money? Because it's in our hands. If it's in our hands, then it's unrighteous, because it should be somewhere else. Who will commit to your trust the true riches of heaven? And if you have not been faithful in what's another's man's, which is money, who will give you what's yours, which is heaven? It means if you are not faithful in the money these days, God will not give you heaven because you will not be faithful in it. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the money. If the money is a master, then we're investing here, not there. Our needs are very simple. I know a lot of people say, we don't want to be rich, but we want to be comfortable. And that's the key. That's the thing. We want to be comfortable. Do you know if comfortable has a limit? Does it have an end? Does it have a cap? No. You can live the most luxurious life on earth and say that I'm comfortable. And you can live the most simple life on earth and say I'm comfortable. Because we create gods. We create gods for ourselves in this world by the riches and the money. And then we say we don't worship money. People hate each other for money. Work all day and all night for money. Think about money. Invest in money. And in the end they say, we don't love money. I wonder if we love it, what more would we do? We think that we're doing that to be comfortable. It's not. See what St. Paul said to Timothy. He said, now godliness and contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we cannot carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. God wants us to be content rather than comfortable. God wants us to be content. Because contentment has a limit, has a cap. But comfortable doesn't have a cap. And Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, He didn't live a life of comfort on earth. But He lived a life of contentment on earth. But those who desire to be rich or comfortable fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Before you say, I don't love money, think about it. Because we do a lot for money, and then in the end we say, we don't love it. Lazarus and the rich man, in the end, one was in heaven and one was in hell. And the one who was in hell was complaining, what am I doing here? And Abraham told him, remember, in your lifetime you received your good things. You were comfortable on earth. You were too comfortable on earth, and you were not concerned about anyone else. And likewise, Lazarus' evil things on earth. But now, he is comforted, and you are tormented. If you want comfort there, you don't need to seek comfort here, but you need to seek contentment. You need to seek generosity. You need to seek building that eternal house. So what's the solution? What do we do with the money? Not in order not to become a master and not to rule. First, the solution for money not to be a master is to give. And not only give. But if you think that the money is a problem, you need to give until it hurts. Or in otherwise, give until you are healed. Let me give you an example. If you work so hard, and in the end, work out your taxes, and find out that the more you work for Uncle Sam. What do you do? Do you still continue to work? No. Because it's not smart to work after that. Because you're working for someone else. It's the same thing. If you give the money that God gave you, and you were so concerned to collect it, when you give it, what do you feel when you give it away? You're losing it. It's not yours anymore. So what do? You stop serving it, and you stop making it a master. Uncle Sam or God, doesn't really matter. When you feel that you're giving it away, then you stop really being concerned about it. The tithe, or the 10% that we usually give, is like the taxes. When you give it, you're not doing God any favor. God is doing you a favor and giving you nine-tenths of what you work for. God is giving you a lot. You don't own the 10% and you don't give it to God. But generosity starts from 11, 12, 20, 25, and up to 90%. Have you heard about people giving 90% of their income to God? One of the most famous people here in the States. You may know him, Rick Warren. He's very famous right now, and his book brought a lot of millions and millions of dollars. So they were asking, what do you do with the money that you get? He said, I give 90%, because 10% is good enough to make us content. Because there is contentment, not comfortable, because there is no limit to comfort. You think comfort is a good car? No. Have you seen a plane that has everything, that's like a house from inside, that has a mansion from inside? Have you seen these planes? They're really cool. They're very nice. And there is a lot of them. And there is a big, I don't want to say a big line of luxury that people can live in. And luxury has no end. It's easy to say, I love God. But you put your money where your mouth is. Prove it. That's why early Christians gave everything. Why? Proving that they are real in their following the Lord Jesus. And another thing we deal with the money is that we have to spend it wisely and carefully, because it's not ours. I'm concerned about something. That we are raising the bar for our kids and the generations to come. If kids will live with their parents in a palaces and mansions right now, how would they live later on? How would they be content with anything after that? Just put this in your mind before buying a house, or before buying a car, or before buying anything very luxurious and very expensive. What would your kids do in order to live? Abraham, the father, he was one of the richest people in his age. He's like Bill Gates these days. How many houses did he have? How many pieces of land did he buy? You know, he was the richest. Nothing. He bought nothing. He lived in a tent as a sojourner. And his children lived in tents also. If he lived in a palace, his children would live in palaces. But he lived in a tent. Abraham bought only one thing on earth. You remember what it is? His gravesite. That's it. He bought heaven. That's what to say. He didn't buy earth. He bought heaven. So, we need to be wise in how we spend it. And it's according to God's will or not. You have a wonderful chance to buy heaven, eternal life, with something very temporal, with something very cheap, with something that will not last, which is the money that we have right now. The last thing, which we don't have a lot of time for, is relationships. Major decisions. The most important decision you'll ever take in your life is marriage. You think about eternity or not? Do you think that of the person who's going to take you to heaven, or the person who will make you comfortable on earth and make you happy on earth, which does not exist? No one will make us happy if God doesn't. Who do you hang out with? People leading you to eternal life, or people earthly, temporal, and bringing you down all the time to the world? The Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits and makes us lose eternity. Relationships means if we don't love here on earth, and if we don't practice love here on earth, then we're not investing in heaven. You know what? Do you think you will live by yourself in the mansion in heaven? What would you do by yourself in a big mansion? You will not live by yourself. But you will live with people in the same mansion. That's the people, when they went to heaven, they saw people living together in the same mansion. Because no one wants to live by himself. Who will live with you in that mansion? Have you thought about that? Do you have a lot of friends going to be there? Do you have a lot of family members are going to be there? You need to be concerned about your love relationship. Serving people. Loving people. Giving to people. In order to have friends. Jesus said, make friends for you in heaven with the earthly money and with in this earthly life. And glory be to God forever and ever.